High atop Chicago Skyline Studio on Memorial Day. And it is also the kickoff of summer. And as everybody, I'm sure, full swing, you know, enjoying, you know, your barbecue, your burgers, your hot dogs, your cold beverages. And, of course, we want to always recognize the men and women in uniform who made the ultimate sacrifice in a day like today to give that respect and that recognition. So we'll have that. We're going to be touching on some of that throughout the course of the day as I'll be with you until 7. And then it is also the kind of the aftermath, right, of the Indy 500. The station has been in on the Indy 500 in a bunch of different ways. Of course, the original radio voice for that great spectacle in racing. And so we have the race. We do the live pre-race show. We capture all of the pageantry. It's exciting. One of our kind of sister companies, the CW, did 100 Days to Indy, that big documentary showcasing the personalities, a little bit of the drama, the backstories behind some of those drivers, in on all that. And then the documentary Brace for the Race, which has been really cool. Like, documentaries are always cool. I love those in a lot of different ways. And this has been sort of real time where they were getting some of the stuff and using some of the stuff. And so it's exciting to see that happening as well. I know that's been on, I think, at least once. I think it's going to be rebroadcast again. And when you think about all of those things that are happening, you know, the backdrop of the tailgating and the barbecue and all that. So we're going to do a little bit of race recap. We'll talk a little bit about that. And 312-981-7200 if you want to add your thoughts. If you made your way down, tens of thousands of fans from the Chicago, or the biggest contingent from a market is from Chicago, even though people come in from around the world. We're also going to talk a little bit about the kickoff this summer, some of the cool things that are happening here in Chicago. There's no better place to be than Chicago in the summertime. And so we'll talk about some of the big festivals that are happening, some of the things that people are looking forward to. It is a barbecue holiday. It is one of those big ones for barbecue. So we're going to have some of the top people in the country on the barbecue side that are going to be making their way here to Chicago to bring their brand of barbecue to what it is that we're going to be doing. So we're going to have all of that as well. Jim Corneliuson is going to join us. He is equal bits, right? Chicago and Indianapolis. And so he's going to talk a little bit about bringing that national anthem side to the Blackhawks and, of course, back home in Indiana, which is, I mean, he's the voice of really that sets that stage and sets that place on fire as well. We're going to talk travel. And then the back half of this, we're going to have Dave Hammond. He's the editor, the dining and drinking editor for New City Magazine. He's going to join us as well. So I think we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Leonard Hoops. He is the executive director for Visit Indy. He's going to join us. And we're going to talk a little bit about not only the, you know, everything that happened at the Indianapolis 500, but all those great reasons to get down there all through the year. It is Memorial Day. It is the day after the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500, the largest one-day sporting event in the world, bringing in tens of thousands of people from Chicago, people from all over the world. They are there for that race. They are there in Indy. And the guy sort of as, I don't know if he's got his hand on the pulse of all of those things, not only for that huge event, that bucket list event, but all year long sharing the stories, the personalities, and all the cool stuff to do in Indianapolis. It's the executive director for Visit Indy, the one and only Leonard Hoops. Leonard, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. I don't know if this is kind of the thing where with your job after the Indy 500, all of those people, 350, 400,000 people, if you feel like it's jump-started the excitement around Indianapolis, or you feel like you need a nap?
Well, it's definitely a little bit of both. The Monday after the race is always a nice day to relax and appreciate what Memorial Day means and appreciate what we just witnessed over the course of the weekend. And the, you know, the race itself is the culmination of an entire month of incredible events. So it's definitely both sorts of things. It's both a catalyst into the rest of the year, but it was an amazing weekend, as it always is.
Now, you think about it, you know, a lot of people are down there for the race. People that aren't even huge motorsports fans want to get in on it. It's a bucket list event, you know, and then through the process of experiencing the track, you know, if they're going to be there, it does happen over the course of a few days, really, right? With Carb Day, you know, Legends Day and all that. And so inevitably, they're going to get to see a little bit of Indianapolis. So your thoughts as you, and you handle a lot of this, you bring in a lot of people, you're there sort of hosting. What are some of the highlights? You know, there's a lot of things to do, but what are some of those top things you kind of present to people when they visit?
Well, you know, I moved to Indianapolis back in 2011, and I had lived most of my life on the West Coast before that. And so I've done 12 races, and over those last 12 years, you know, the only one I missed is what everybody missed, which was the one in 2020. And I've had a lot of friends and family come into town, and so I get a sense from what they want to do, what other folks want to do. But, you know, in downtown Indy, we've got a ton of attractions, starting with White River State Park, which is where our zoo is. It's literally a 250-acre park across the street from a 1,000-room hotel at the JW Marriott. And you've got a zoo, you've got the NCAA Hall of Champions, Indiana State Museum, Idle George Museum, a canal walk, all these different sorts of things. And so I think a lot of folks love being downtown. Certainly the hotels are filled up downtown, as they are, frankly, in all of central Indiana for an event that brings in 350 to 400,000 people. But we also have the world's largest children's museum. We've got Newfields, which is our art museum. And so our attractions are really, they have a great weekend leading up until that race on Sunday.
I think anybody who's been there for, whether it's a trade show or a convention or any of those kind of marquee events, you know, we've talked a lot about the Indy 500, but you guys host the Final Four, the NCAA football championship, the Super Bowl, right? It regularly makes a stop in Indianapolis. So for the people that have not been there, it's kind of super planned, right? Everything is within walking distance to the hotels, the convention center, and all of those venues.
Well, sometimes folks joke around that we're Chicago light. You know, we've got a lot of the same kinds of things, professional sports and big hotels and a big convention center, not on the scale of a McCormick or the total number of rooms you have, but on a scale much larger than most cities. And so, to your point, the whole downtown, frankly, has been master planned for about 50 years, beginning in 1972 when we opened up the first phase of the convention center, and there have been 5 expansions, 6 then. We've connected 12 hotels by skywalks to the convention center. We've built 2 arenas, the most recent Gainbridge Fieldhouse, 3 blocks away from the convention center. The football stadium, the second one, we had the Hoosier Dome, and now we have the Lucas Oil Stadium, is also connected directly to the convention center. And so you've got all these hotels, restaurants, pubs, attractions, sporting facilities, and the convention center essentially all connected to each other, along with a mall in downtown Indianapolis. And so literally, the downtown has been designed to host big conventions and major sporting events over a 50-year period.
So for Visit Indy, are you in on any of those meetings? Because obviously when everybody is going to do something, they're going to have host an event and everything, they're going to do the normal things with a press release and kind of getting it out to the local media. But it's kind of on you, Leonard Hoops, right, to kind of share that with the greater, wider world. Like, here's some really cool stuff going on.
Absolutely. I mean, we're in on all of that stuff. So we're the Indiana Sports Corp might lead a sports bid, but we're with them as far as getting all the venues booked and the hotel contracts and things like that. We run all the big tourism campaigns. We're the group responsible for booking all the big conventions. Some of my friends in Chicago were mad at us because we recently booked the Sweets and Snacks Expo, which had been 25 years in Chicago, and they just got done meeting there last week, and beginning next year, they begin meeting in Indy 2 out of every 3 years moving forward. So Chicago gets plenty of business, so I'm sure they'll do fine. But Indy has definitely emerged on the radar of a lot of folks over the last couple of years, particularly on the convention side.
Oh, man, Leonard, Carlin just mentioned, the general disappointment in the city. You know, the city is crying a little bit. Of course, the dentists probably are also crying. So you think about the business impact that you're having by stealing it. You know, you're improving maybe the dental hygiene, but also you're costing a lot of money. Is there, for any kind of group, whatever, even morticians, I'm sure, have sort of a time of year where they get together in Orlando or something and they kind of talk shop, or there's people that are going to try to sell them different things. Is there competition where you say to, like, Chicago, you're like, hey, you know, Sweets and Snacks, we're coming for you. Is there any kind of dynamic like that?
Well, there's folks who say it's all fair in love and convention business. I get along great with the folks in Chicago. Your newer CEO, Lynn, the guy who runs sales for Choose Chicago, used to work for Visit Indy 2 jobs ago. We're all friends, but at the same time, it's kind of a zero-sum game. You know, you're either going to get a group for 1 year or not get the group for 1 year. It's not going to meet in the same place in the same year. But you might get them 1 year, and then Chicago gets them 5 years later, and then you get them 3 years after that and that sort of thing. So, it's definitely a competition, but it's a very friendly competition. People get along well. We're all economic development professionals who have come up in sales and marketing over the decades, and So it's a lot of fun. By the way, you mentioned the dentist. We are hosting the American Dental Association in 2026 as well, so that should work out fine.
It's part of that master plan that you were talking about, yeah. Right? You got to go yeah. where the customers are. Here's the other thing that you guys have going on, and you know, for those people that are out in the, you know, the greater Des Moines, Iowa Visitor Bureau, maybe they don't have a lot to do. Maybe they're kind of sitting around. Let's try to get something together and figure out some way to generate some buzz. The people in Indianapolis, it seems like, and I've been covering it for a number of years, is there's always something kind of cool going on, and a lot on the food scene as well. And working with your staff that are always out there kind of sharing that story, is the Indiana and Indianapolis food scene is really working hard and growing and getting a lot better. A lot of things to be excited about on the restaurant side.
Yeah, you know, we get a lot of backhanded compliments in the sense that we'll be called by Food and Wine, for example, the most underrated food city. You'd rather not be underrated. You'd rather people know that you're a great food city, but like a Chicago, like a New Orleans or a San Francisco. And as a guy who moved here from San Francisco in 2011, I can tell you, you know, the typical convention delegate is going to find a very comparable restaurant scene for the amount of time they're going to be here as they would in any big city in America. To the point, you know, if you're here for a week, you're obviously going to find a week's worth of great restaurants if you want to find, top-rated restaurants and Baird nominees, that sort of thing. If you live here, you're going to have more options in a bigger city like a Chicago or New York or Washington, D.C., but any typical visitor is going to have, you know, more than enough restaurants to keep them happy for, you know, every visit they come into. We have annual conventions that have been here for decades, and there are folks who come in for those conventions every year who still haven't gotten to all the places they want to get to, because there is a lot of great places, you know, in downtown Indianapolis besides the big stalwarts like the San Elmo, and everybody knows about the steaks and the shrimp cocktail and that sort of thing.
But it's still great. In fact, it's too full. You need to open up another location there, or some sort of like adjunct, you know, a tenting situation. Because, you know, we try to get into St. Elmo's for the famous steak and the shrimp cocktail, but you never. Prime 47 is a place that we spent quite a bit of time at, and it was absolutely great. I mean, it was one of the best restaurants I've had in a long time.
Well, I don't know if the data supports this, but it sure seems like we have more steakhouses per capita than just about any city in America. I mean, that's the core meal of Indianapolis.
So it's one thing you can predict and you can sort of plan on, which is the Indy 500. You know it's going to be there. You know what's going to happen. You can you get a little bit of a heads up from the restaurant side. New chefs in town, new restaurant openings, and your great team Morgan and Nate. They do an excellent job. But sometimes you get thousands of years right to plan for this. Like let's say an eclipse, and so this is going to be big. We're going to be bringing in maybe a lesser known demographic. Right. You're not. I mean, I don't know, unless you guys are hosting the Star Trek convention or the astrological, you know, enthusiasts group or whatever. But how do you plan for that? Something so big, but kind of hard to get your hand around.
Yeah, I was wondering if you can ask me about it, because I was going to bring it up if you didn't. I mean, April 8th of 2024, we are in the path of totality for the eclipse. And we know that there have been some small towns in America over the last couple of eclipses where they're in the path of totality that got, you know, hundreds of thousands of visitors that came to their city during that time. So we've actually got our museums and attractions and others working on a full weekend of things leading into that, which I believe is a Monday, the April the 8th. And so we've got activities planned for the whole weekend. So, you know, in this world, you're trying to fill hotel rooms as many nights as possible. So if we can get a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday night leading into that Monday eclipse, we're going to do that. There's, for example, I think the Art Museum Newfields is doing something called Total Eclipse of the Art, as part of that weekend. And so you've got all sorts of folks just figuring out different ways to activate around an eclipse theme.
I can see it happening. Hashtag passive totality, right? You got to make that sort of a buzzword. But that's on you. That's on you, Leonard Hoop. So before we let you go, and people are going to be excited about all that stuff, there's reasons all year long. You mentioned the Children's Museum, all the great sports, all that kind of stuff happening, going on. And so before we let you go, give the, let's see if I can get this going. Oh, yeah. Before we let you go, give the website for people to get more information and kind of get a heads up on all the festivals and events that are happening right there in Indy.
Well, first of all, you know, anytime you talk about eclipse, I guess you're at risk of having your call drop. But the website is www.visitindy.com. visitindy.com. You can learn all about the eclipse and everything else to do and see in Indy.
One of the best in the business. Leonard Hoops, get your rest. You got a lot to promote and be excited about there in Indy. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Enjoy being with you guys. Thanks.
All right. When we come back from the break, we are going to have Jim Cornelius, and he is the voice not only of the Blackhawks, our mighty Blackhawks, but he is also the voice of the Indy 500. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's also the voice of the Indy 500 back home again in Indiana. And that great suggestion about the eclipse that came from Jeff Carlin, Andrew Harris also in there. So, guys, have you ever seen an eclipse? Have you ever stood outside maybe in third grade with a toilet paper roll? And
I drove down to see it in Carbondale in 2017 and cry next to our good friend Tom Skilling. It was amazing. I would recommend it to anybody. It was take you back to being like prehistoric days and thinking like, imagine yourself seeing this and not knowing what it is. It's pretty cool.
Well, imagine that 7-day forecast that says, like, don't bother showing up, right?
Exactly.
If you're this guy, you got to worry about that. All right, quick break. We'll have Jim Cornelius when we come back. Keep it here. Memorial Day, it's Dane on 720 WGN. It is one of those days after the greatest spectacle in racing, and there's a lot of people that are tired. Some are bruised. Some are, you know, sort of caught on fire, you know, and certainly had a big day, maybe 350, almost 400,000 people there. One guy was playing a very important role to basically light the fuse and light that incredible audience on fire with back home again in Indiana. He is our very own, you know, we feel like he's Chicago's very own, of course, the anthem singer for the Chicago Blackhawks, but we have to share him with the world as he is one of those major components for the Indianapolis 500. It is the one and only Jim Cornelius. And Jim, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing? You know, is it, well, first off, we got to say, and for those people that watched, I'm sure millions around the world, you know, you're in a position of a lot of, I don't want to say it's pressure, right? Maybe it's an opportunity, but it was amazing. You've done it a bunch of times. I'm sure you critique yourself in ways that we can't even maybe see or understand, but I thought it went really well.
I think it went great, you know, and yeah, I always get nervous and yeah, there's pressure, but there is also opportunity. So those things aren't exclusive, are they? In fact, they, in my experience, most often go hand in hand. So great opportunity comes with great pressure. And that, of course, is a very high profile moment in the pre-race ceremony before this huge, huge international sporting event. So it's really an honor to be part of it. And I just try to set myself up to do the best job I can every year.
Yeah, it's one thing to have that opportunity. It's another thing to completely deliver. And you have done that where so many people walk away from your performances, whether it's the national anthem, of course, back home in Indiana. And it's like, it changes everything. It isn't just some sort of obligatory thing that happens before a sporting event. It makes everybody just, I mean, the crowd gets so energized. And so absolutely insane. So I know you pretty well. And so we've talked about it for a long time, but, it has just been, you know, there are some roles that are made for people. And this one, you know, there's a lot of people out there singing the national anthem and many doing a great job with it. I think you're one of the top people out there. Certainly for the Blackhawks, you create an entirely different environment. But when it comes to back home again in Indiana for the, you know, what is the, you know, the greatest spectacle in racing, the biggest, you know, collection of people one day for a sporting event, it's almost like you're the perfect guy. I don't know if there's anyone out there that could do it like you do.
Well, first off, I'm really honored to be part of it, and it's such an amazing tradition, right? And you got to ask yourself, how am I going to fit into something like that? This is arguably like the best pre-race, pre-event, pre-sport game ceremony before any event, you know? And it's on Memorial Day. There's always an incredible talent and meaning, acknowledgement of the veterans and involvement of military. And it's so on point for in so many ways. And so I just try to bring myself to that if I'm made for it, which is, I guess, an ego gratifying thing to think. But it's really because I try to understand the weekend and the race and the fans. And then deliver something that would fit into what they do. And it's been a tremendous thrill and honor to be part of it.
Well, you mentioned that it is one of those kind of, you know, special moments in sports and special kind of lead ups in sports. They were talking about it. Doug Bowles was saying it's the greatest 90 minutes in sports, that entire lead up. And it is all very orchestrated, very calculated, very like on point, whether it's this performance or whether it's the jets that are flying over, whether it's Jewel doing the national anthem. Talk a little bit about that for the listeners, just like what kind of schedule you're on and how you sort of pace, I guess, maybe your preparation. Could you, like, if you had to do it 10 minutes early, would it throw you off, or do you have it sort of dialed in your own mind, this countdown to performance?
I have it dialed in as a countdown to performance, and have developed some routine to it now, and I'm on site 10 or 15 minutes. By on site, I mean standing just off of the stage 10 or 15 minutes before, and I'm in a room somewhere warming up before that, and I'm kind of quiet, and I have my guests and stuff have come, and I say, okay, everybody's got to go away now, you know, because I want to be focused on what I'm about to do. For people who have not been to the race before, they might not understand, like, back home again in Indiana, it's like an anthem, you know. Everybody knows every word. They know every note. And it's the song that happens before they say, gentlemen, start your engines. It just has this place in this pre-race ceremony that is very, very special to people. And like you said, it's not just obligatory, right? I mean, people tune into this pre-race ceremony. And then after gentlemen start your engines, you know, the cars take off and people might watch, you know, 5, 10, whatever, 20 laps. And then they might go away for an hour and then come back to the broadcast, you know, because it's a long race, 500 miles. But the pre-race ceremony draws people's attention. Everybody is in place for it. They get to the track early and they want to be there. They want to see this.
I mean, it is can't miss TV, but you have done that, and we'll talk about that in the next segment too. When it comes to the Blackhawks, you don't want to miss, you know, you don't want to miss, right, Jim, you don't want to miss the beginning, you don't want to miss the anthem, you don't want to miss the people. And for the Indy 500, you definitely do not want to miss that situation. The last thing before we go to break, you know, because even for the anthem, there's so many things happening for, you know, a Blackhawks game. Your people are, you know, you're getting your beverages, you're trying to get into place, and there's a lot going on, and you've got the veterans standing right next to you, and there's just a ton going on. Obviously, it's amazing when you do the anthem. But for the Indy 500 and for the listeners that watched it, and for you, Jim, like, it like zooms in and you are by yourself. You are a man on an island, like a literal, you're on this pedestal and there's like nobody within like 50 feet of you. And like once you get into it, I'm sure you get into that flow and that vibe and you're like, I got this. This is what I do. But is there a moment where you kind of even like look around and say like, whoa?
Oh, my God. I mean, when I first walk in on the track, I'm in town Thursday night, right? And the race is on Sunday. So, and I'm on the track for rehearsal. I'm out there for practice on Friday and pit crew competition, things like that. And every time I go into that track, I haven't been there for a year, I'm always blown away from it, by it. And that's just with the empty stand. But when you put all the people in the stands, all of a sudden it gives the track depth and color and life in such a huge way. And one thing you said while you were talking that reminded me of something I've never thought about before, really, is that, yeah, the Blackhawks, we have the anthem just before the puck drop. And that's kind of the pinnacle moment. Everybody wants to be in place for the anthem at a Blackhawk game. And I think that, because I've done the Blackhawks, all their anthems now for 15 years, it occurs to me that's actually been a sort of a frame of reference or a lens that I see my role at the Indianapolis 500 in the same way, because back home again in Indiana is this pinnacle moment in the pre-race ceremony, in the same way the anthem is with the Blackhawks. Everybody is in place for it. They anticipate it. They sing along. They cheer. They cry. They hug. It's a pretty amazing moment, right? And there are a lot of similarities, too.
Yeah, you light that fuse on those moments. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Jim Cornelissen. We're going to talk about association with motorsports, some ideas in the works right now. You heard that. Millions of people heard that all over the place, the pushing 400,000 in attendance and millions in countries all across the world. The voice of Jim Cornelissen, the voice of the Indianapolis 500 back home again in Indiana. He is on the line with us. Jim, welcome back.
Hey, great to be back. Before we get started, I want to say you gave me a taste of that El Bendito Blanco one day, and that was, like, really good, and I am a tequila guy. So I'm just kind of thinking I should hold you hostage, because why you gave me a glass, you never gave me a bottle.
Yeah.
And if we're going to finish this interview, I think I should use what leverage I have to get a commitment for a bottle of that El Bendito tequila.
Duly noted, and I would consider it a public service, right? We want to keep your voice as smooth as possible, and it's so smooth it's criminal. That's the tagline. So I think the America deserves you to have as much as you need, right, to keep making it happen. Out there, I wanted to ask you, because people associate you, and of course, rightly so, with the Blackhawks and with the Indianapolis 500. But here's the thing that I think, and the listeners, if you've got anything to maybe text in 312-981-7200, your experiences, if you've been there, right, for Jim Cornelison to do the thing. I remember one of the events where you had an impact that went far beyond the entertainment value or even the patriotic value, or like we said, just you're obligated to hear the national anthem before an event, was that Bears playoff game where you came out and you did the national anthem, and it was, I think it was the quarterback, it was Matt Hasselbeck, who said in the post game press conference after the entire game, is like, we lost the game after the national anthem, and that was because of you. So you talk about 12th man, you got one right here.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think it was Harry Tynowitz told me about that interview that Matt Hasselbeck was on. And he said that, and I thought, wow, that's really cool. But I take that stuff tongue in cheek too. I mean, I think certainly it impressed everybody. Maybe it took their mind away from the game plan for a moment. I think what it does say is that it's a really powerful, powerful thing the way that we do the national anthem in a Blackhawk game, and of course that kind of migrates over to a Bears game when I sing there too.
Well, okay, so Tale of Two Anthems. This was something that we had as far as the video where you sang one at one venue, and then you were able to do it. And, you know, it is so much put into one of it. It's like, you know, like a Mariano Rivera, right, a relief pitcher. Like, he puts it all into that one inning, right? He's not, you know, pitching the whole time. So you do this. Like, how many anthems could you do if you had to do them, like, in a row? Could you do a few, or is it kind of like, okay, well, you need a certain amount of kind of regrouping in order to prepare for the next one?
Yeah, I need a little regrouping, because I kind of put everything I got in the anthem, and when it's done, I need a chance to breathe, but I also need a chance to take some pressure off my vocal cords. So I have done a couple, three in a row before for maybe an interview or a recording session or something like that, but I always need a couple minutes, 3-4 minutes in between. The most I've done in one day was 5, and that was just a golf outing at 8 a.m., a golf outing at 10:30 a.m., and then I don't remember what they were. And in the end, at the end of the day, was a fireworks thing at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. So the singing is part of it, but also the talking and the travel and the just having to stay on all day. That was a tiring day, I got to admit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you can admit. Well, you got to strike while the iron is hot. Here's the thing. What if you had, and I was talking with Mario Andretti about this weekend, and what if you had like 6 hours? You know, they always talk about, and this is going to happen next year with Kyle Larson, of course, NASCAR star. He'll be here for the NASCAR street race. He's a great dirt track driver. He is going to do the double. And for the listeners who are not familiar with that, it's when a driver does the Indy 500, then they get in a plane, they fly to the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte, and they do them both. And so I had, you know, you and I talked about this, and we're going to have lots of conversations with the NASCAR folks out here. We're doing a giant live 3-hour remote broadcast from Bub City the Thursday of race week. Lots of interaction with them. And if they wanted to step up their event and get a little bit of the grandeur that is the Indy 500, it would make sense to do a double, to have, let's say you do back home again in Indiana, and then you're able to go to Charlotte and be able to do the anthem. Now, I don't know if that's something that you would, you know, I think you would want to do. I know the fans would absolutely love it. I know they're always trying to tie those events together. Do you think physically that would be something that you could do?
Oh, yeah, I could do it physically. I love the idea. I think it'd be fantastic. And what I've seen in the last few years is, like, what's good for racing. One league in racing is good for race car racing in general. So Drive to Survive for F1 was great for F1, but it's all been a rising tide that's lifting NASCAR and IndyCar and everybody, right? So, wow. Yeah, I would love to do it. I mean, there's certainly media opportunity in it for, you mentioned that Tale of Two Anthems. I think Blackhawks did a video about that when I did the Blackhawk game and then went and did the Bears game that within a couple hours of each other. I guess this would be a little more travel.
Yes. Oh, they'd have to get you there. And then, of course, lots of lozenges and all of that. And as we let you go, Jim, you got to keep your hand 10 and 2 on the wheel making your way back to Chicago. Where is the website, social media-wise, for people to keep up with all the adventures?
Oh, I have at anthem_singer or jimcornelison.com. But really, I'm the most active on Twitter and Instagram, so it's at anthem_singer. Yeah, that's where to do that. I just tweeted out today an incredible article about an Air Force gunnery sergeant named, I think it was James Cook in Vietnam, and it's just an article that I read that I thought was on point for Memorial Day, but it was such a heart-gripping story about this guy. But, you know, it's not always about something like that, but on this weekend it is. Put out stuff too, just about what I do and where I'm at. And and sometimes my quirky sense of humor comes through, but it is what it is. I'm a dad joke kind of guy, you know.
We're gonna have links up at wgnradio.com for all of that and all the association at all times supporting the men and women in uniform as well. Jim, we'll let you get back to your memorial though. Thanks so much for everything you're doing, and thanks for jumping on the show today.
Oh, you bet, Dane. Always a pleasure to talk to you. See you at the races. Whatever. Always good.
We'll see you soon. Bye.